Folks, it is good to see you out again tonight at the House of God. I know the wintry nights and inclement weather, it's quite easy to say, well, I'll stay at home and listen online, but we're glad that you've come. We appreciate your attendance in the House of God, and for those in the service and those that are visiting, we do give you a warm welcome. And for those that are joining in online because of sickness or some other reason, we do give you a special welcome in the Saviour's name. A special welcome also to our preacher today, our brother Mr. Jonathan Storey, originally a member of our Ballymoney congregation. He's currently finishing off his studies at the college. He'll be finishing later this year. He's helping, assistant to the minister in the Macrofelt Free Church, and he's helping in his own congregation one day a week. So he's keeping busy. And on top of that, he's getting married in July. So this year is a busy year. It's a momentous year for him. But do pray for him that in the days to come, a door will be opened up to him for the service of the Lord in the future. Remember him in prayer. We enjoyed his ministry this morning. I know others have said to me they enjoyed that word. And do encourage his own heart tonight as he leaves. If the word of God has been a blessing to you, always encourage the preacher by saying to him on the way out, he'll be at the door this evening, and do tell him that you enjoyed the preaching of the word. He's preaching in the gospel, and we do pray that indeed he know the help of God, even as the word of God is open to us tonight. We do thank our sister Naomi. She'll be bringing a couple of messages and song during the meeting, and we thank her for that and for her involvement in the service this evening. Then immediately after the service tonight, up in the youth room at approximately 8:30, there will be the after church for youth meeting, and this preacher again will be our brother Jonathan. All youth are welcome, and do please plan to stay and attend that meeting. This evening, as you exit, there will be the offering baskets as you leave. And as we do just normally every evening, we do all just go out the main door as you come in. So do remember as you leave to keep that distance, to feed out properly. And if everyone just makes their way out, we don't open these two doors on a Sunday evening, because if the weather's bad, it means a longer walk for some. So if you just go out those two doors, but remember the social distancing and the restrictions. We do appreciate your compliance with those, and we do appreciate helping us in that matter. Just very quickly, the announcements for the incoming week. Monday morning, 10:30 to 11:30, the Little Sunbeams Parent and Toddlers resumes in the church hall. Tomorrow evening, 6:45 to 8, the Awana also resumes back in the church hall. Tuesday night, 8 to 9, Bible study and prayer meeting. Special time of prayer for our own family circles. I'm sure there's none of us tonight in the service have members of the family that are not saved. Here's an opportunity to come and to pray for them and to seek God's face in prayer. Our own minister, the Reverend Smiley, will be here to lead that service and participate in it on Tuesday evening. Next Lord's Day, the 16th, 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11:30 the family worship, 7 p.m. the gospel service preceded by the season of prayer, 6:20 to 6:45, and our own minister will be along to preach at both services. Mr. Stephen Patterson, the son of the Reverend Andrew Patterson, will be along to minister in song next Lord's Day evening. And at both services next week, there will be the Missionary Council offerings taken up as you leave the service. Those baskets will be at each one of the doors. We do ask you to remember those that we listed this morning. We'll not go into the detail. Just one that we want to mention, our brother David has been moved into Ward 3E in Ulster Hospital. Do continue to remember him, his condition. Remember Amanda and the family. And there are others that need our prayer, well known to us. We do trust that you will remember them in your own private times of prayer at home and commit them to the Lord's care and keeping. I'm going to hand the rest of the meeting over to our brother, Mr. Jonathan Storey. We bid you welcome, brother, again, and we do pray that you might know the blessing of the Lord in the preaching of the word tonight. Thank you.
Each and every one of you in the house of God as well tonight. We'll just commence our service by singing the words of the hymn 247. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, 'tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung, our God is able to deliver thee. What a wonderful God we serve tonight, and therefore let us lift up our hearts in praise to him as we sing this hymn. Remaining seated while we sing, please. I know that I was struggling to reach it and I was standing, so I can only sympathise for those of you who are sitting in the congregation not able to get on the tiptoes to really reach those high notes. What a wonderful hymn that is, that our God, he is able to deliver us from sin and from the oppression of the onslaughts of hell. Let's just stand together as we come to our God in prayer and commit this meeting to him. And you pray in your own heart that God will speak to you and you'll have a word in season for each and every one of us, and that our souls will be thrilled tonight as we consider the gospel of Christ. Let's pray. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the words of this hymn. Lord, truly there never has been a grander theme throughout the universe, throughout the history of this world, than the fact that our God is able to deliver us. Lord, we praise you for the fact that Christ came into this world to live a perfect life and die a sacrificial death so that we might be delivered from the power of sin. Lord, we do thank you for breaking the chains of sin in our lives. We thank you for that moment where you stepped in mercy and in grace, and you redeemed our never-dying souls. Lord, we could never cease to praise you. Lord, truly we can say, for all that thou hast done, we never will cease to praise thee. But Lord, we do ask that you would forgive us for those times where we have been negligent in praising thee. Lord, those times that we have not been thankful Christians. Lord, those times where we have not been thankful for the many blessings and the many mercies that you bestow upon us. Lord, we seek your forgiveness tonight. Lord, we would ask for fresh cleansing in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That blood which is able to wash even the vilest of sins. And Lord, tonight as we come to the service, Lord, we would ask for your presence here with us. Lord, if we meet without thee, if we meet without thy Holy Spirit coming down and speaking to each and every one, then Lord, we can ask, what is the point of being here? If we meet here just to hear a message, Lord, we meet in vain. Lord, if we meet here just to renew fellowship with one another, Lord, what, as good as that might be, we still meet in vain. Lord, tonight we would ask that we would meet with thee, that we would meet with the one whom our souls love, that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up, seated on his throne. And Lord, that we would cast before thee our praise and our adoration. Lord, we would ask for a stillness in this service tonight, for a quietness in each and every one of our hearts. Lord, that we would be attentive to each aspect of this meeting. Lord, that through the singing of the precious hymns, that we would be stirred in our souls. Lord, as we listen to our sisters sing, I pray that our hearts would be edified, our souls would be uplifted, Lord, as we listen to the messages that she has for us tonight. Lord, we pray, as we come to the Word of God, that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, take a dealing with us tonight. Lord, even especially, if there is one who has been coming for years, Lord, if there is one in here tonight who has been in this church building more times than they can count, but yet, Lord, they are still outside of thee, I pray tonight that you would break the chain of sin in their life. Lord, I pray that you would break the power that sin has over them, would show them the Saviour who came to save them from their sin, and that tonight we can rejoice over another soul coming to thee. Lord, we can truly say that if just one more soul was to walk down the aisle, it would be worth every struggle and it would be worth every mile. Lord, we would ask that you would imprint that kind of love upon our hearts. Lord, we do pray that you would give us that kind of passion for winning souls for thee. That, Lord, nothing is too great if we would only see one more soul saved for thee. Lord, nothing is too great for thee to ask of us if we would only see more souls ushered into the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray, help us tonight. Give us a stillness and a quietness in this meeting tonight as we consider the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may we leave knowing that we have met afresh with our God and that he has spoken to our hearts. Lord, we ask that everything will be done to your honour and to your glory to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. And we would pray even for those that are unable to be here tonight, Lord, be with them wherever they are, at their home, Lord, or at the hospital bed. We pray that the presence of God would be with them as well. Lord, we ask all of these things in Jesus' worthy and precious and almighty name. Amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask at this time if our sister, Miss Naomi Wilson, would come and give us her first piece. And so, thank you.
I
Thank you, Naomi, for that beautiful piece and song. They are truly wonderful words. Our sins, though they be many, the Bible tells us that even though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool. And as sins, our sins can be as many as the multitude of the sea, but yet His mercy is more. That's truly wonderful words, and thank you for that word and song. Perhaps if you have a copy of God's Word, we could turn to John chapter 10 tonight. We'll turn to John chapter 10. And we want to read from the verse number 22. John chapter 10. And the verse number 22. Here we see Christ is in Jerusalem. And we read of, in this portion, how Christ speaks of His sheep and those who are His. And in John chapter 10, and verse 22, there are the Word of God. We read these words. John 10, 22, and it says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about Him, and said unto Him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Amen. We'll end our reading there, verse 30. And we pray that God will speak to us through His Word tonight, and we pray that God will bless His Word to our hearts. We'll just come to our next hymn this evening. It's a hymn 302, a very well-known hymn, "Jesus, Thy Blood and Righteousness, My Beauty Are, My Glorious Dress." And again, we'll remain seated while we sing this hymn together. Thank you. title, the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu, in the Old Testament scriptures. And what better way have we to come before God than clothed in the righteousness of the perfect Saviour? We're just going to ask our sister to come and bring one more piece, and after that we will come to the message. beautiful words they are in verse number 3. We thank Naomi for singing for us. My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin not in part, but the whole. Christ bore all of our sin on the cross. Not just some of it, not just the most of it. He took all of our sins on the cross. It's nailed to his cross, and we bear it no more. Therefore we can sing, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's my favourite verse in any hymn that has been written over these past 2,000 years, and what wonderful truth is contained within it. And let us come again to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and we want to just read again some of the verses that we find here. John 10, and we're going to read verse 26 through to verse 29. Verses that we really want to focus in our attention on tonight. John 10, verse 26. It says there, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Amen. Perhaps we could stand for a word of prayer just before we come to the message tonight. Our eternal God and Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for what we have heard already this evening. Lord, we thank you for those beautiful words in that hymn. We thank you that for those that are redeemed, for those that are saved and washed in the precious blood of Christ, for those that are trusting in thee for their salvation, we can say, it is well with my soul. Lord, I pray that that would be the challenge set forth tonight. That, Lord, we would examine our hearts. We would examine our lives. And, Lord, we would ask that question, is it well with my soul? Where will I spend the ages of eternity? Lord, I pray that you would give us a very real sense now of your presence and your voice speaking to us. Lord, we pray as we come to consider these words here in John chapter 10, that you would pierce our hearts tonight, Lord, so that we might be able to sing with her sister as she sang tonight, "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Lord, I pray, speak to us now, and give us a very innate sense of your presence, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' worthy and precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. It is believed that there are over 40 instances in the scripture where we read of the Lord Jesus Christ being referred to as a shepherd, one who looks out for his sheep and protects those who are in his flock. Such verses are included earlier in this chapter, in John chapter 10. Verse 11, we read those very famous words, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Here Christ is speaking to the Pharisees, who came to him asking questions. We read that in the previous chapter, in chapter 9, verse number 40. It says there, "And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, Are we blind also?" Now the scriptures don't reveal to us the intentions of the Pharisees as they came to Christ at this time. They had came many times throughout the gospel accounts. We read many times where they came to Christ, they posed their questions, they posed their scenarios, and they had one sole intention. And that was to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ. That was to find fault with him. They sought to test Christ. They sought to find any reason wherewith they could accuse Christ of blasphemy, of blaspheming against God and heresy. Matthew 16 verse 1, it tells us there that the Pharisees and the Sadducees also came, and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Matthew 19 verse 3 tells us that the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him. And so we can see throughout the gospel accounts that there are many times when Christ had to deal with the Pharisees as they came to him, seeking only to tempt him, seeking only to trip him up. And their questions led to the discourse that Christ started in this chapter, in John chapter 10. Here Christ begins to explain to the Pharisees how he was likened unto the shepherd, the one who has care for those who are his own, the one who looks after his flock. However, because of the intentions of the Pharisees here in this chapter, they were unable to understand what Christ was truly saying to them. They could not see what it was that Christ was explaining to them. And in verses 1 through to 21, we read of all that Christ said to them. And in the end, we see that in verses 19 through to 21, the Pharisees come to the conclusion that those who have been listening, they were divided into two groups. Verses 20 and 21 tells us there, "And many of them said, He hath a devil, and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" Here are two sets of people, two groups of people who one believed that Christ was who he said he was, the Son of God, the Messiah, the one who would be the Saviour of the world. And those who did not believe, they even went as far to say that Christ had a devil. He was possessed. And there may be those in here this evening, in the service, and you know about the Lord Jesus Christ. You have heard many times about Jesus Christ. You have heard how he was such a good teacher, how he went about doing good, healing the sick and bringing sight to the blind. He went about teaching many good ethical stories and giving teaching and instruction through parables. But sadly, you don't believe that he truly was God incarnate in human flesh. You believe that he died on a cross, yes, but you don't believe that he was here to bear away our sins. I pray tonight that if there is one that has those thoughts in your mind, I pray if there is one that believes on that, that tonight you will say, truly, this was the Son of God. And we come to our passage and see that Christ, he was in Jerusalem. Verse number 22 says that it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication. Now, the Feast of Dedication was instituted by Judas Maccabeus. And it was used to cleanse and to purge the temple from all that was unclean and all that was filthy and anything that polluted the temple. And I believe that there's even application there for our hearts as we come to the house of God tonight and even consider what the Feast of Dedication was, how they used that time to purge the temple. Do we not in our own lives have sin that needs purged and washed in the precious blood of Christ? So then we can dedicate our lives to better serve our Saviour and our God. And as we come to verse number 24, we see that then the people, they began to ask Christ questions. How long will thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. These people, they had seen the many miracles of God. They had seen the miracles of Christ. They had seen his teaching. They had heard his words. They had so many things that pointed them to the fact that this was the Son of God. But yet, they still failed to believe in him. And therefore, Christ comes and gives them these wonderful and these precious words in verses 26 through to 29. And these are the verses that we really want to focus in on tonight. And we want to think of the privileges of being in the fold of God. The privileges of being in the fold of God. That is our title for tonight. Firstly, I would like us to see that God, or that Christ, he gives access to God's family. He gives us access to God's family. Because notice the words of verse 26 and 27. He says, "But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Christ in these words is indicating that he has a very personal and a very real relationship with those sheep that are his, with those that are in the flock of God, with those who have accepted Christ as their Saviour. We look back in this chapter to verses 15 and 16. And verses 15 and 16 tell us of other sheep. The other sheep referred to in these verses are the Gentiles. The Lord came to this world, and he came to the people of Israel. He came to a chosen nation. And the gospel, therefore, was first presented to the Jews. We read that in Romans 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." The gospel offer was first given to the Jews, those who were his people. And God, in his all-knowing and sovereign will, he knew that the Jews would reject the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that the Jews would reject Christ when he came to this world. He would reject them, or they would reject him as their Messiah. And therefore the free offer of salvation was opened up to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Well, those who aren't Jews. You and me and here this evening. God, being merciful, opened up a door for us that we did not deserve. We are in our natural state. We are in our sin, the Bible tells us, not just outside of God, but it tells us that we are at enmity with God. We are enemies of God. But what does the Bible tell us? That while we were yet in our sin, Christ died for us. And so the other sheep in that verse number 16, it has reference to us, to the Gentiles. And at the end of the verse, we see that we are one family united under God. John chapter 10, verse 16, "There shall be one fold and one shepherd." Christ is one who loves all of his sheep in equal measures. He is the only shepherd of his sheep. And we are now invited to come and to be a part of his flock, to be a part of his fold. You here this evening, as you have come into the church service, as you have come to listen to the gospel, you are being given an invitation to be part of God's family. You are being given an invitation to join in the flock of God. And I wonder, what then will you do with Christ? Will you accept that invitation to come into his family and be part of so many rich blessings that Christ bestows upon us? And we can see that this expression here of "my sheep," it points us to such a close connection between Christ and his believers. J.C. Ryle, he said, "Just as a man feels a special interest for that which he bought at great price and made his own, so does the Lord feel a particular interest in his people." And what price did Christ pay for us? We think of our cars, we think of our homes, we think of the amount of money that we pump into these things. And recently, me and my fiancée, we've just bought a house, and we know all the stresses of having to give over money and pay these things and pay these bills. And yes, we give so much of our money to own things here in this world. But Christ gave everything. And I mean, Christ gave everything to save us from our sin. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And Christ laid down his life so that we, the guilty, could go free. That great price was that precious blood that Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Galatians 4 tells us that when the fullness of time came, that God came into this world in human flesh, born of a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He died that perfect death so that we might have the adoption of sons. So that we can say, "Abba, Father." So that we can no longer be servants and slaves to sin, but we can now be accepted into the flock and into the fold of God. This is why Christ came into this world. What a blessing it is to be adopted into the family of God, being called a child of the Most High. A believer in here tonight, that is your title. That is a title that Christ has given to you. You are a child of the Most High. You are a child of the King. And Paul goes on even further, not just to say that we're children of God, not just to say that we're accepted into the family of God, but Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 17, he says that, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God." But he goes even further than that. We're not just heirs to all the blessings that God can give to us. He says that we are joint heirs with Christ. Now, I want you to pause for a moment and consider those words. Joint heirs with Christ. Look at your own life and look at the past sins that you have perhaps been involved in. I look to my own life and the many times that I have failed the Lord, the many times that I have sinned against His law. Are we worthy to be joint heirs with Christ? Are we worthy to be placed there in the same category as the Son of God, who did no evil in this life, who knew no wrong, who lived a perfect life? Truly, what a wonderful salvation we have, because we are called joint heirs with the perfect Son of God. What a blessing that is to our hearts. Believer in here tonight, take heart tonight that you are a joint heir with Christ, that you are a child of God, that you have been accepted into the family and into the fold of God. And tonight, if you are still outside of Christ, the Lord implores you to come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He invites you to His family. He invites you to have all of the benefits and all of the blessings of being a child of God. So I ask the question tonight, will you refuse His offer once more? So we see that He gives access to God's family. Secondly, I want us to see that He gives us eternal life. Because in verse number 28, we read there at the very start of the verse, "And I give unto them eternal life." The Good Shepherd freely gives to us the gift of eternal life, we who are His sheep. Commentator once said, if you or the devil or anyone else could remove you from Christ's hand, then that entity would be greater than Christ, and the eternal life which He gave you would not be eternal at all. That is an impossible equation. And the life that Christ purchased for His sheep was a complete and a full life. And there is so much joy and there is so much delight to be had in accepting His mercy tonight. When it comes to people's birthdays, we usually buy them gifts. We give them a present, whatever it might be. Something that they've asked for, something that we think that they'll like, and something that we think they'll enjoy. That gift is freely given. They don't pay a price for that gift. It's of no consequence to them what the price was. And you wouldn't just refuse a gift at Christmas or at your birthday. And what a wonderful gift has been purchased for you by the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet, I wonder, is it the case in your life where you have rejected that gift time and time again? He has offered it to you and you have said, "No, Lord, I do not want it. I'm fine on my own. I will make my own way to heaven." The Bible tells us that Christ is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And therefore, to reject His gift would be foolishness. The Good Shepherd came down from the glories of heaven to be born in a low condition in the stall in Bethlehem. John 1:14 it says, "And the Word, that is Christ, was made flesh and dwelt among us." He lived a perfect and sinless life, doing no evil throughout this lifetime. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And the Good Shepherd then ultimately went to Calvary. He went there to shed His precious and perfect atoning blood, so that we, the guilty, might go free. We read that in John 10:11. "I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth His life for the sheep." He laid down His life for you, and He laid down His life for me. Therefore, we are assured of eternal life. If we will repent of our sin, if we will turn away from it, see our sin for what it is, an offence against the Holy God, and trust in Jesus Christ to save us from our sin. He fulfilled the demands of the law that we could never obey. If any of us were to try and live a perfect life, we would fail instantly, because we are all born in sin. We have that natural inclination towards sin. And in His death, Christ took our punishment. Christ bore our sin on the tree, as our sister sang earlier. Our sins, not in part, but the whole, were nailed to Jesus Christ. He bore all of our sin away on that cross. And therefore, all we have to do tonight is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I wonder, what has been keeping you from Christ? What has been holding you back from coming to Him, perhaps these many, many years? What is it that is holding you back from coming into God's family, from being an from gathering an inheritance of eternal life? What's holding you back tonight? Lay off those weights that so easily beset us, and let us look unto Christ tonight and be saved. Believer in here tonight, let this encourage you, let this thrill your soul. You have an inheritance which is corruptible and will never pass away. Our lives are but a speck in the equation to eternity. The things that we possess here in this life, they will one day rust, they will one day wear away, they will one day be put in the ground. But that inheritance that we have, that life eternal that Christ has given to us, will never perish, will never pass away. It will be, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8 says, on the day of our death, we will be absent from the body and we will be present with the Lord. Sinner, tonight that offer of eternal life is ready for you if you will only receive it and accept it. We sing that hymn that God loves the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost, He offers free to all. I wonder, will you accept that offer of mercy tonight? So we see that Christ gives to us access to God's family. We see that He gives us eternal life and an eternal inheritance. And lastly, let us see that He gives us eternal security. Because read with me again the verses 28 and 29. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Once we have accepted God's mercy, once we have accepted His offer of salvation, the Bible tells us that we are safe. We are safe in the arms of Jesus. He provides, as the Good Shepherd, an eternal security for us who are in His fold. The word perish here, it means to be destroyed or punished in hell. And in John chapter 3 and verse 15, the words there that whosoever believeth on Him, that is Christ, should not perish, but have eternal life. It's the same word. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are promised that we will never see the fires of hell. We are promised that we will never be in that place of eternal torment. We are safe and secure in the Master's hand, and no one is able to pluck us out of His hand. The word any here, it implies anyone who would be able to attempt or try to pry us from the hand of our God. Albert Barnes, he said, it is an affirmation that no man, however eloquent in error, or persuasive in infidelity, or cunning in argument, or mighty in rank, and that no devil with all of his malice, power, cunning, or allurements shall ever be able to pluck them from his hand. Once we are saved for eternity. Once we are saved, we are safe in the Master's hand. And no one will ever be able to take us from that position. I wonder, dear child of God, tonight, have you perhaps in this past week, in this past month, or perhaps this past year, have you had those doubts where the devil has come along and asked you the question, are you truly saved? How do you know that you are going to an eternal inheritance? How do you know that you are saved and washed in Jesus' blood? How can you have that hope of one day being in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder, has that thought been niggling at you for these past days and months? Read these words. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them from my hand. We are safe in His hands. We are secure in the hands of the Lord today. And if we are saved and have accepted Him as our Christ and as our King, we will never be plucked out of His hands. And I have with me a very valuable treasure tonight. It's a pound coin, a very valuable thing to me. Pound coin. And if I was to place this pound coin in my hand tonight and close it over, it would be very difficult for any of you to pry it away from me. Now I can see there are some quite well-built men in here tonight, I'd say you'd have a good go at taking this out of my hand, but I'm telling you, I will fight tooth and nail to hold on to this pound coin which is in my hand. But if I was to then take my second hand and place it around this pound coin, I'm telling you, you are going to have a lot of bother and you are going to have a lot of difficulty pulling this pound coin out of my hand. It is a very weak illustration. It is a very poor illustration. But it goes to show somewhat of how infinitely secure we are in God's hands. Because we're not only secure, the Bible tells us, in the hands of Christ, the Good Shepherd. It tells us that we are safe in the hands of God, our Creator. Christ places His hand around us, and we're safe in His hand. Then God comes and He places the other hand around and holds us in the very palm of His hands. We are infinitely secure in Christ, but we are doubly and more infinitely secure in the hands of Christ and God. Now, I've been clutching onto this pound coin for dear life, and if you can see anything, you'll perhaps see a little mark that's in my hand. I've done a wee bit of damage to myself. But what does the Bible tell us in Isaiah 49 verse 16? Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Child of God, what a blessing, what a comfort that is tonight to our souls, that we have been grafted into the very hands of the one that hung the stars in the sky. We have been grafted into the very hands of the one who formed us in the womb. He is the one in whose hands we are safe tonight. And therefore, we are infinitely secure in God's hand. But in conclusion, if you are in this meeting and you are outside of Christ, you have never experienced salvation, then your name is not written in God's hand yet. And one day you could hear those words from the Lord Himself, where He could say, "Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting darkness, where there shall be bitterness and gnashing of teeth." I pray that those words will be ones that you never hear on the far side of eternity. I pray that for each and every one of us, the words that we will hear when we go from this scene of time to the next will be, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou in to the rest that I have given thee." If you're in this meeting tonight and you aren't part of the flock of the Good Shepherd, I pray that you will cease from your wandering, you will cease from your going astray from God, and you will have your name tonight written on the hand of God, written into the Lamb's Book of Life. He is calling tonight. Will you not follow after Him and have access to God's family, have that eternal inheritance in heaven, and have a perfect and a great security in the hands of Christ? Let's close in prayer. Our God and our Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, how we are so secure in your hands. Lord, we praise you for that. And Lord, we would ask that you would write your word upon our hearts. Lord, I pray that for any in here tonight who perhaps have been struggling with doubts, who have been struggling with anxieties over whether or not they are saved, Lord, draw near to them and show them your nail-scarred hands. And more than that, Lord, show them that their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there they cannot be erased. Lord, I pray for those who perhaps have rejected the gospel for so long and are still outside of thee. Lord, deal with them tonight and open their eyes to the wondrous salvation that is found in Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. We'll come to our closing hymn, the hymn 402. Jesus, what a friend of sinners. Jesus, lover of my soul. And perhaps we could sing verses 1 and 4 and 5. Verses 1, 4 and 5 to conclude our meeting this evening. God and our Father in heaven, truly we can say, hallelujah, what a Saviour we have tonight. Lord, you have saved us, you have kept us, and you help us, and you lead us on with yourself. Lord, I pray, speak on now to each and every one of our hearts. Lord, encourage us in the Lord tonight in what we have heard for those of thine children that are here. Lord, we do ask, speak to sinners tonight. Lord, show them their need of the Good Shepherd. He is the only way into the fold and the flock of God. Lord, we pray that they would not put it off another night, but tonight they would come in faith and in repentance to thee. Lord, bless us now. Take us to our homes in safety and watch over us in this incoming week. May we have the testimony, as it was said of John the Baptist, that he was a burning and a shining light. May we be burning and shining lights in those places that you have for us this week, shining forth for the gospel of Christ, telling others the way of salvation. Lord, I pray, be with us now and bless each and every one. We ask in his holy and precious name. Amen. Amen.